The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Man, there's so much to discuss. For example, what in the world would 85 Bear Tom Thayer do if he found out that someone broadcast live a post-game locker room speech after a win where Mike Ditka was addressing the team? Oh, man, we'll discuss next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Sabin is with you, so is Tom Thayer, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is along as well. You can join us. We're going to open up the phone lines for the entire hour on this special edition of Bears All Access, 312-644-6767. The reason we're doing it is last week we had a whole bunch of guests, and we really didn't have the opportunity to talk to you, so we're going to get the opportunity to talk to you, and you can talk to us throughout the hour at 312-644-6767. The news today in regards to what's going on with the Bears is that it's been announced that the Bears coaching staff will lead the North team in the Senior Bowl next week. And what that means is there are three quarterbacks that they're going to be coaching, getting a hands-on look next week all throughout the practices leading into the game. Iowa's C.J. Beathard, Pittsburgh's Nate Peterman, and Colorado's Cepho Lufo. So those are the three guys that are going to be participating on John Fox's team, where Dow Loggins and Dave Ragone will have an opportunity to work with those guys. There are a whole bunch of defensive players we'll get to in a little bit. But I guess let's start with the quarterback first. And Jim, what do you know? Give us a quick snapshot on all three guys.
Well, I think when you look at Peterman, you know, he's with a coach I know pretty well, because when you look at Pat Narduzzi, he coached at Michigan State, and I think he's a good athlete. I think he's more of a West Coast quarterback, would be my take on him, which suits the Bears because they're kind of a hybrid offense that has it fuses kind of the New England Patriot offense and the West Coast system. But the one thing I wish Deshaun Watson would have agreed to go down there. You know, it's unfortunate he didn't. I think we all understand the reasons why he didn't. But I think any opportunity you have to showcase yourself is a great opportunity, because that's just for them to get to know you personally, how you learn, those type of things. I wish he would have participated, because I think all eyes certainly would have been on him. But the Bears get the first opportunity to dive into all these players, because I think quarterback is the number one priority, but I think there are a lot of other needs the Bears need to look at, from the defensive back standpoint to the other areas that we talked about, wide receivers that are going to be there. And I know Mike Williams from Clemson's he pulled out as well, and that would have been a player that would have been interested to watch down there. But Bears are going to have a great opportunity. I really believe that. They will get firsthand knowledge that no other team will be privy to. Yeah, they're all down there scouting, but they're not in those meeting rooms coaching those players, presenting the game plans, how a player takes to coaching, how well receiving he is to coaching, how well he can apply coaching. They'll be able to get the firsthand evaluations more than any other team, which is great.
Hey, Jim, when you look at Lufo, you look at Peterman, and you look at Beathard, you got these three guys, then you talk about Deshaun Watson, national championship Clemson team. Do you think that these other three guys have a lot more to gain, and then Deshaun Watson would have a lot to lose if he went down there and was unimpressive, if his mind was kind of scattered because he was still having a little bit of a national championship hangover? And so do you kind of feel like these other guys may have a lot more influence on their own future because of their opportunity down there?
Yeah, if I'm any of those quarterbacks, and a guy like C.J. Beathard, I don't know too much on Lufau. I know a lot on C.J. Beathard just because I covered the Big Ten. I think he is a strong-arm, play-action quarterback that is going to do well in the NFL. If everybody knows Jake Rudock, who transferred from Iowa to Michigan, he stuck on the Detroit Lions roster, and the Bears were actually interested in trying to pick him up. So I think C.J. Beathard is well-coached. He's got a big arm, and he's a better athlete than what people anticipate him to be. But you bring up a good point, because I don't think anybody expected anything from Dak Prescott. A year ago, he shows up at the Senior Bowl, and he just blew the socks off of everybody. Granted, he goes in the fourth round, but he represented himself very well. And I think a guy like C.J. Beathard will have the opportunity to do that down there, because he's got a strong arm, and it's much like these quarterbacks in the championship schemes. One thing about these quarterbacks, they can make all the throws. When you look at Ryan, Brady, Big Ben, and Aaron Rodgers, there's not one throw they can't make. So your offense isn't limited. You know, you don't got to worry about, he can't do that. He can't make that throw. C.J. Beathard can make all the throws. So he's in consideration and a guy that I think the Bears will do their homework on.
All right, but you got Beathard and Peterman, both after college listed at 6'2". Lufau is 6'4", 240. It kind of gives him the eye appeal advantage when you talk about the Colorado product out there. So, I mean, what do you need to see out of a guy that brings that type of size? Is it still the mental aspect of it, what you get out of the classroom? Or if he opens your eyes and has the athleticism of a guy like Dak Prescott, do you immediately kind of go, boy, I need to explore what this guy's strengths are just to see if this 6'4", 240 frame fits what you kind of need at the NFL level?
Yeah, you definitely do, because I'll give you a quarterback that everybody thought was just going to be awesome. Logan Thomas out of Virginia Tech a few years ago. Arizona ended up drafting him, I think it was the fifth round. And there was talk he was a really good athlete who could move, and he was 250. He was 6'5", 250 pounds. At Virginia Tech, they switched from a spread system to a traditional West Coast system, and he didn't have a really good senior year, but his stock dropped. But down at the Senior Bowl, everybody fell in love with him because he had a huge arm. He was a big guy that could move, and everybody's just like, wow, look at this guy. He, you know, I can mold him into something, really was the thinking. And there were some draft analysts that had him as what they thought the best of the lot in terms of his upside. And then it just fizzled out. It never worked out. And believe it or not, I mean, Bruce Arians was going to start him against Arizona and benched him the same week. He named him the starter on Monday and benched him on Thursday because he practiced so bad, because he's a very inaccurate thrower, but had a powerful arm. And you were drooling at what he could be. But what he actually was just an inconsistent quarterback who wasn't very accurate. And you're not going to win games that way in the NFL. Ultimately, he's trying to resurrect his career as a tight end. Teams are going to try and convert him to a tight end is where his NFL career is at right now.
Yeah, Lufau also has had issues with injuries throughout his career. Yep. He's been a power running threat in addition to having the big arm at 6'4", 240. But keep in mind that he was bothered by an ankle injury most of this past season. They did go 8-1, and they won the South before going to the Pac-12 championship game. But last year, major foot injury, which cost him his most of his junior season. That's the kind of stuff that I think people are going to be looking at. Can this guy stay healthy in addition to whether or not he can perform? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Out to the phones we go. Aurora, Michael, you're on Bears All Access.
Good evening, guys.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm still a Jay Cutler fan. I'm going to make a case for him. You know, he's still a lot better than whatever the college pool can offer you. And he's still a reasonably priced salary for the next season. And, you know, the two guys that really killed the Bears is Bobby Massey and the play caller.
Loggins.
Yeah. They killed the Bears season last year by making an untimely, mistake in their play calling or the blocking. And, you know, Jacobs is still a lot better than, a lot of these quarterbacks, including Garoppolo, although he's a lot younger.
Well, I think before we start talking about guys on other teams, I think the fair question that Michael is asking, guys, is when you look at the quarterbacks that the Bears currently have from last year, whether it's Cutler, Matt Barkley, Brian Hoyer, Connor Shaw, from a talent standpoint, you can understand what Michael's talking about. From a talent standpoint,
Jay
Cutler is the best guy just off pure talent.
There's no doubt. If you were to put those guys next to each other, the physical upgrade is Jay Cutler. It's not even close. I mean, he's just athletically superior, arm strength, everything compared to those other guys. And I think everybody sees that. Can Jay Cutler still be on the Bears next year? Yeah, it can happen, because if the Bears aren't able to acquire, we say it all the time. Tom says it, I say it, Zach says it every week. You've got to acquire talent in order to let talent out of the building. Okay, so the Bears got to find something equal, if not better, before they let Jay Cutler go. If that's the area or the decision they make, that may declare itself. Maybe they can't pick up a free agent quarterback. Maybe they can't trade to get a guy that they think can fulfill those shoes. So that all those things have to be determined, and the Bears aren't the only ones deciding it. Other teams could decide it for them of what they can do.
All right, Jim, coming back after the break. I have a question that pertains to the quarterback position, and I need your answer on it because I think that's the best answer we can get out of it.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing you have to remember is what Ryan Pace and John Fox both stressed in their postseason news conference, that joint news conference that they held at Halas Hall. Can't have the turnovers. And that has been a major issue with Jay Cutler since the trade with Denver. And that's, I think, the reason that many believe there's going to be a new quarterback, whether it's a bridge guy or a rookie, starting for the Bears next season. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More of your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Travel to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic with Apple Vacations and your favorite Bears players this spring. Visit applevacations.com/Bears for trip details. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Taking your phone calls throughout the hour, talking a lot about the quarterback position.
Yeah, Jim, you know, I had a question that we were talking about before the break and the quarterback position, the quarterback room for the most part. Because when the Green Bay Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre says it's not his job to get Aaron Rodgers ready to play football in the NFL. Then if you went to a quarterback like Jay Cutler, he had one more year on his contract, and the Bears went and drafted a young guy. Where do you fall when you're in the quarterback room and you know all of you guys are learning together, whether you're a starter, you're the backup, or you're a guy waiting in the wings? What is your obligation as an upperclassman in that room to the guys that are your understudies?
I believe, you know, it's your obligation and your duty to help out your fellow teammate. That's what I personally believe, because you got to understand, yes, it's still a competitive situation because everybody wants to start. I think everybody understands that. The only person challenging you is yourself. You have to go out and have the mindset that I'm going to be a better quarterback tomorrow than I am today. It should be nothing, you know, that there's any, animosity towards your teammate, because they want the same thing as you. That's up to you, and you're going to decide it as a player. You know, ultimately, that position will declare itself by how you perform on the field, in the classroom, being a good teammate, being unselfish, and all those type of things. I've been in rooms where it's like that, where it's very competitive and there's animosity, but I've been in great quarterback rooms that it's just understood. This is the way it is. You're going to decide. I'll give you a case in point. New England. How about when Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe? I mean, that could have been an awful situation, right, quite frankly. But Drew knows it. Bill Belichick lays it on the line. The best guy's playing, period. The end.
Hey, you saw it in Dallas this year. You know,
absolutely.
Tony Romo, you know it was killing him on the inside. Once he got healthy, that he knew he could play, but he saw what Dak Prescott was doing, so rather than fight it, he helped him.
Hey, and the way he handled himself, that was beautifully handled by Tony Romo, because it was there for everybody to see. And Dak Prescott, I heard going into the game this past weekend in the divisional round that, if they get down 10, they're putting in Tony Romo. That coaching staff was not going to put Tony Romo in that game. That is Dak Prescott's team now, and it is Dak Prescott's team moving forward. You know, and look at that guy. They were down 21-3, and he brought them back. You know, that's... You know, he's going to be just fine as a quarterback. But Tony Romo, what a class guy. The way he handled it, what a good teammate. And that's what Dak Prescott needed as well. And he knew. He knew, hey, there can be any point that, you know, they could turn this back to Tony Romo. But he responded exactly the way he should have as a young pro, learning to be a pro in the NFL.
And, Jim, to be fair, I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but I'm on the sideline. I have the unique vantage point during games. And Jay Cutler was helping out. Yeah. Matt Barkley and Brian Hoyer, when he was banged up and wasn't on the field. There was one play where he brought both Barkley and Cam Meredith in one of the games that they played at Soldier Field down the stretch, and talked about a crossing route that they could use to take advantage of the defense. Called up Dow Loggins from the field and it was a play that eventually ended up working for the Bears. So he was involved the way a good teammate should, at least on game day. 312-644-6767. Out to the phones we go. George is downtown. George, you're on Bears All Access.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. I want the Bears to be so good, so bad. Why can't we set up a system where we get like a Romo, maybe if we're gonna, and then we have an understudy. I don't know what round that would be. I don't know the financial situation and the caps and everything. But it seems to me that you need a system where they're studying, and the guys like Rodgers and Brady's who have learned the game by sitting and watching and then analyzing. That's what we need to get set up. We do that, maybe get a safety pick, bone up a couple other positions. I think we could be on our way, but I think Romo would be a great fix to win. Maybe deal Cutler to Dallas. He could be a good backup for as part of the deal. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I just want us to have a quarterback now and in the future, and we haven't really put a much emphasis on that, and we need to.
You know, George, I've talked to other Bear alumni that have the same interest that you do. They want to go out there and explore the valuability of Tony Romo. But now, to me personally, thinking of a guy that's gone through a couple back operations, three broken collarbones, and you want this guy to develop your future. Say he goes out and gets hurt in the third game of the preseason, the dress rehearsal, or early in the season. Now you have a guy that's going through the surgery, going through all the rehab protocol, and you don't have a guy that's really developing an inexperienced guy behind you. The whole thing about Tony Romo, I think he is a model citizen of NFL quarterbacks, but because of his injury history, it really worries me that he would not be able to make it through the grind of the season and some of the just the physicalness that you have to have when you take that blindside shot, or you just take a you're not going to be a threat to run the ball, so it's going to put more pressure on your pass protections.
And Jim,
also,
realistically, yeah, there's a lot of money. First off, the Cowboys have to renegotiate their contract with Tony Romo to be able to make it flexible enough where they can say goodbye to him. The other thing is, if you're going to pour in that kind of money for a quarterback, you better be right on the precipice of taking that next level as a team. The Bears are not at that point right now. A team like Houston is, Denver, maybe Kansas City, but not the Bears.
My take is Tony Romo is not going to command that much compensation, and here's the reasons why. All the things that Tom just mentioned. Teams to one to trade to take on that cap figure, number one, with a player with an injury history that he's had over the past couple seasons in Dallas. So there is a lot of talk on the street right now that Dallas may acquiesce and Tony Romo will just ask for his release, because nobody's going to give high compensation. One, you're taking on the salary. You're not going to give a high draft picks when you're taking all that on. So the word on the street is he'll ask Dallas and Jerry Jones for his release. And as glowingly as Jerry Jones talks about him, he may acquiesce and just make Tony Romo a June 1st cut. And here's the reason why, because then he can prorate and offset all that bonus money you're talking about.
312-644-6767. Let's go back out to the phones, Jim. Mark in Milwaukee, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Packer fan, but I don't delight, in not seeing the Bears doing well. I was at the Packer Hall of Fame earlier this year.
I don't believe
and a
it.
Large section of the Packer Hall of Fame is devoted solely to the Packer-Bear rivalry. So I would like to – I mean, there was nothing like seeing the Packers play the Bears in the NFC Championship game. Personally, just as from an outsider's point of view, I don't think Jay Cutler's the answer. I don't think Tony Romo's the answer. I'm curious about Mitch Trubisky at Stanford, what you think of him, and – where does the Clemson quarterback, just to celebrate the national championship, where does he compare to a guy like Jamarcus Winston, some of these other Mariotas, some of these other young gunslingers? What about Garoppolo possibly frying him out of New England? And, maybe is there another this year, possibly another Dak Prescott sitting and waiting in the weeds in the fourth round or something like that? And I hope that the Bears do well. I really do. I think it's a vaunted rivalry, nothing like it. And I'd just like to hang up and listen to your answers.
Mark, thanks for the call. And Jim, he brought up some great questions, but let's take the break. When we come back, here are the questions that we're going to ask Jim based on what Mark just said. Number one, what about Deshaun Watson? Where does he rank? Who can you compare him to who recently had success at the NFL level? Mitch Trubisky, the one-year wonder at North Carolina. And then when you look at the Bears overall, who is the right answer to be a bridge guy for that quarterback of the future? We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And this week on Inside the Bears, Alshon Jeffrey steps up to take the phone challenge, plus Kyle Long, Akeem Hicks, and Leonard Floyd help carry the load in a best of big guys in compact cars. Zach Zaidman along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Before we go right back to the phones and take your calls, Jim, before the break, we were talking about the quarterback situation. So let's start a quick snapshot on Deshaun Watson. Who do you compare him to? Mitch Trubisky, who you compare him to, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, first with Deshaun Watson, I think he obviously helped himself in the national championship game because he's played well in both national championship games and comebacks, and he gets revenge this year, and he was a tough guy, took big hits. He can move in the pocket extremely well. I think he's an extremely pure passer. At the end of the day, I get concerned about the offense of Clemson. If you remember the quarterback who came out a couple years ago, went in the sixth round, Taj Boyd. It took he struggled with the Jets. He couldn't pick up an NFL playbook. Now, I'm not saying that's Deshaun Watson. That's why I wish he would have went to the Senior Bowl. He's all over the map. Some have him in the second round. I believe he's a first rounder. And I thought if he went to the Senior Bowl, he kind of could have sold it to two quarterback needy teams in like the Bears and the Cleveland Browns. You know, where the Bears are selecting, maybe Deshaun Watson goes middle teens. You know, that's where some have him going. You know, who cares if the Bears trade down if that was their guy and they elected to get him, say, at 10? That's not the worst thing in the world, and he would have improved his stock, so to speak. So I think he's got a lot of to answer on the chalkboard, but I like him. He would be my number one guy right now. Mitch Trubisky, I think he's more of a West Coast guy. Again, 6'2", not an overpowering arm, but yet can make all the throws, moves around really good. Think he's a tough guy as well. He's got some decision-making, much like Deshaun Watson, because Watson had 17 picks this year, 13 last year, I believe, and that's the same for Trubisky. But again, there's not a lot on tape for Trubisky. He's going to have to convince a lot of teams on the chalkboard and if they believe he's a good enough athlete. I mentioned it before. He was Mr. Football in Ohio. How the hell does he end up at North Carolina?
It's a great question. 13 games as a starter for North Carolina. Consider that Mark Sanchez played, I think, 16 in his career at USC, and people felt that wasn't enough.
But, you know, does he fit the Bears' bill? Yeah, I think the Bears ultimately want to be a run play-action team, and I think Trubisky can do that. Deshaun Kizer out of Notre Dame, very powerful arm, but just very raw. And I'm not a big fan of Brian Kelly's offense there at Notre Dame. He's going to be a raw player that I think is going to have to sit when you look at Kizer.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Frank in Hammond, you're on Bears All Access.
How you guys doing?
Good, Frank.
Jim, I listen to you all the time on Sirius XM.
Oh, cool, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right. My question is this. It's starting to sound like there's a lot more reporting that the new head coaches that are taking over, some of the organizations are saying that they're going to let the coaches pick the GM. Now, I don't know any other industry where you get to pick your boss. So what do you guys think about this new trend growing?
Well, this is kind of unprecedented when you look at what the 49ers are doing, because supposedly word on the street, Kyle Shanahan, he's first leader in the clubhouse. He now gets to meet all the GMs. George Payton, I'm sure Bears fans should know him. He was in the Bears front office with Rick Spielman and Mark Catley, a big fan of George Payton, who's now at the Minnesota Vikings. He's in the mix. Elliot Wolf of Green Bay Packers, he's in the mix as well. I believe Terry McDonough of Arizona is also in the mix. Those are all young and upcoming guys. And I just think Jed York, the owner of the 49ers, just wants to see if there's any synergy between the head coach and the general manager. They got to be able to work well together and share a vision on how they want to build a team. That's why I think that interview process is taking place. But, man, to me, doesn't it, Tom, doesn't to you guys, isn't that kind of disrespectful to Atlanta and what they got going on? Now you got the added emphasis of Kyle Shanahan having to discuss with the general managers to potentially to be in San Francisco. Man, I think a disservice to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, especially the guys they're talking about are all first-time head coaches in the NFL. So not only do they have the responsibility of getting their teams back on track because that's why the previous head coach was fired, but now they want to go out there and extend their knowledge and get involved in front office stuff more than just player evaluation, getting ready for the Senior Bowl, getting ready for the combine. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a way of if we don't succeed, we can blame the head coach for more than one thing.
Now imagine had they allowed Jim Harbaugh to have full control of the 53-man roster, they wouldn't be in the mess that they're in right now. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Taco in Homewood, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Taco.
It's actually Tasso, but regardless, I wanted to ask about A.J. McCarron, because I've heard a lot about, you know, Romo, Garoppolo, all these guys, but I think that with a run-first team that we're trying, or look like we're trying to be with a stronger defense, I think that it would behoove us to at least take a look at that guy. I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are on A.J. McCarron as a potential quarterback of the future for the Bears.
That's a good point, and you're right. When he filled in for Andy Dalton, he played well and actually took the lead in that playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers a year ago. Drove him down and got the go-ahead touchdown, and then unfortunately we know that the Bengals basically lost their temper and control, and that's why they lost the game. But it wasn't A.J. McCarron that cost him the game. He played very well, and I think he is a target of a lot of teams. Other guys, we've talked about Mike Glennon. I would think Nick Foles. We've talked about Tony Romo. A guy who's going to be available, Tyrod Taylor. I don't know if he would be a fit for the Bears because, I think the Bears want a pocket passer because they want to be a run-and-play action team. Look at all these quarterbacks that are playing in the championship week. They're all pocket passers. Yeah, you can say, oh, Rodgers scrambles around. Not really, you know, because you look at his calf and his hamstring during their seven-game win streak until he got healthy. He was playing from within the pocket, and that's ultimately where he wants to be. The added bonus.
Jim, how many quarterbacks in the history of the NFL could make that throw that he made to win the game for the Packers last
week? No, that's the added bonus, what he does outside the pocket. Because that was a called dash play. Tom knows it. 259 dash, we used to call it. And it was a designed rollout for that very reason. And he is accurate as all could be. And that's how we started the show. Look at these quarterbacks. They can make every throw that needs to be made in the NFL. And they are deadly accurate. They're all 2-1, touchdowns to interceptions. They're tremendous decision makers. And that's what you need to win games.
You know, one thing that concerns me, Jim, about the Chicago Bears, and you talk about A.J. McCarron, Jay Cutler, Tony Romo, whatever, it brings me back to Dal Loggins. Now, if I see a team that's intent on calling a running play 30%+ of the time, then you're not a run-first football team. I need them to be able to capitalize on the talents of Jordan Howard and the rest of the running backs they have here to be a 50%+ run called and then take a little bit of pressure off the quarterback by using play action and downfield. So it's going to take discipline of Dal Loggins as much as it is in the decision that you make at quarterback. So I need to see how that affects the team.
You know, here's what I look at, and I go back to last year when Adam Gase was the Bears offensive coordinator. This is how you know when a team's truly committed to the run. If you fall behind 7-0 early, are you still committed to the running game? Do you continue to run the ball that next series? If you don't gain any ground on first down, do you run the ball when it's second down and 10? That's how you know. And I don't think the Bears did enough of that this past season.
Well, that's a good point. Look at Adam Gase. They're the only team that had a 200-yard rusher 3 weeks in the NFL. He did it down there with Jay Ajayi. How about Dallas? They're down 21-3 in the divisional round. Did they stop giving the ball to Ezekiel Elliott? And then the big play action passes to Dez Bryant came off of that because Green Bay had to go single safety, and then Dak Prescott is knifing him on a play-action pass to Dez Bryant for a touchdown. They went down literally the field in three plays, two running plays and a play-action pass, and Dez Bryant was in the end zone.
You know,
ridiculous.
Go back and look at teams. The teams that throw the ball on first down that have an incompletion, a majority of the time they run the ball on second and 10. So that's the same thing. If you run the ball on first down and you get stalemated at the line of scrimmage, you have to be willing to run it again. That's part of the abuse of the game that takes a toll on the defense. And I think it was evident in the national championship game with the 99 plays that they were able to run, Clemson's offense was able to run. You did take a toll on that defense.
Well, just to give you the statistics on all these teams in the playoffs, let's just talk overall running games. New England Patriots, well, they come in seventh in the NFL during the regular season in their rushing offense. How about the Atlanta Falcons? They're ridiculous in what they could do. They're also a top five rushing team. Dallas, we already mentioned them. They were a number two rushing team in the National Football League. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Just go look at what Le'Veon Bell has done the last 7 weeks of the season. He's averaging 160 yards a game rushing.
Look at what the Broncos did last year when they won the championship. Yes, Peyton Manning was the quarterback in the big game, but he wasn't the Peyton Manning that we'd become used to. He was merely a game manager. That was a run-first team that used its defense as well.
Yeah,
you can win both ways. You don't just need the elite-level quarterback to win a championship.
Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, listen, it helps. Aaron Rodgers is...
I feel like
the Bears are in the same position as every team in the AFC East is when they look up
at Tom Brady.
And every
team Jim mentioned, they have great quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're right. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year long. Speaking of social media, I got a question for you, Tom, when we come back on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join Bears players Sam Acho and Sherrick McManus as Life Source and the Bears celebrate National Donor Month with a blood and marrow drive January 24th and 25th at Daly College in Chicago. Visit lifesource.org/bearsdrive for more information. Alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Your phone call is coming up at 312-644-6767. All right, so everyone knows what Antonio Brown did after their big win over Kansas City. Mike Tomlin, the head coach, is talking in the locker room, and he broadcasts the entire speech via Facebook Live on social media to the entire world. And boy, Mike Tomlin was, first off, it's an NFL violation. So he's going to get fined by the league. He's going to get fined by the Steelers. And man, did his head coach, Mike Tomlin, take him to task publicly yesterday at the Steelers news conference. Now, it's one thing for people to say, yeah, it's not a big deal. So what? This, that, and the other thing. Tom, you're a player. Jim, you're a player. Tom, if that had happened when you played, and you played in many big games, and you won many big games throughout your career, if a wide receiver did that, what would your reaction have been?
It's inexcusable. I mean, as a teammate, I would have said something to him. And in more of an angry way than just, it's just part of the society today with cell phones and everything. That's baloney. Because every time you go and you talk to a player during the week or in a regular season situation, and it's something good isn't going on, they always go, you know, all we have is those guys in that locker room, and when they shut the doors, that is our time. That's when we can talk about anything we want. Hey, you are in that situation. You are in that scenario because there's a guy on that field that didn't play the best of game and has concern for his job and everything. He doesn't know what direction the coach is going to go in. Now, if that same coach would have called out a player or brought other player's name to out in front of his rest of his peers,
oh my goodness,
it would have been humiliating to him. So, to me, I just think it's inexcusable that a player thinks that he has that much credibility with the football team that he can go out there and broadcast a coach's speech without asking permission when it's illegal to do anyways.
And Jim, remember in football, like the one featuring Bill Belichick, for people who think that Bill Belichick isn't going to use this, you know, because he was joking about, I don't know, what did he call it? Snapface and InstaChat. Yeah. He was making fun of the social media. Well, if you go back to that Football Life on NFL Network about Bill Belichick, there was one video that he played. I believe the Dolphins had a big win when Tony Sparano was the head coach. And Sparano's got the whole team in the locker room. And he goes, the division goes through us. So Belichick takes this in one of the meetings with the Patriots, puts it up on the big screen. They play Sparano getting all excited, saying, the division goes through us. And they're playing the Dolphins the next week. Belichick puts it on, stops it, looks at his team and goes, the division runs through us.
Mm-hmm.
The division runs through us.
Yeah, he's the best at
doing Miami.
Yeah, he's the best at doing that. But first off, to answer the question, he wasn't even a teammate of mine. He was a teammate of Tom's. I would have sicked Mongo McMichael on him done to begin with. That would have been where it started for all the reasons that Tom mentioned. That is just unacceptable what he did. But in terms of motivation, yeah, I mean, can Bill Belichick use it? Yeah, it just added fuel to the fire. I'll tell you the story that I know through Bill Belichick, because when I was on the AFC Championship game back in 2004, when we were going to Super Bowl 39, in the divisional round, and we were scheduled to play the Colts in the AFC Championship game, okay? So we're getting ready the night before. We're getting ready to play the Colts. But the week prior, Vanderjack, the kicker, remember the idiot kicker?
Yes. Yeah.
He actually played at Michigan State before he transferred out. He got kicked out. But he said in the locker room, there was a video of him. He said, they may as well just give us the ring. And I'll never forget this. Bill Belichick, the night before that AFC division or that AFC championship game when we were going to play the Colts, you know, you normally have a meeting and you're covering things. Bill Belichick didn't do that. He played that video. And the Patriots had just won Super Bowl 38 the year before. He said, gentlemen, and he held up that ring. He goes, they don't just give these rings away. You got to earn them, and you know how hard it is to earn this. And that was it. He turned off the monitor, and he walked out of the room, and that's all he had to say. That's all every player needed to hear. They don't give these rings away. You got to earn them, and you know that more than anybody. We destroyed them, 27-3. I think was the score.
Then they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and Jim's got a ring.
Yeah, it was. I mean, but that was the perfect thing for him to say, and he was right. He knew we were ready, but that was just icing on the cake. And that whole room was silent, and you could tell that whole night everybody was just stirring, ready to play football. We came out like gangbusters, just wanting to pound it to them.
312-644-6767. Great story, Paul in Lockport. You are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. My question is about A.J. McCarron and Garoppolo. You hear a lot about them possibly getting traded as backup quarterbacks. If they were in this year's draft, would they go at the top of the draft? And if so, is it worth trading for them then?
I'm sorry, go ahead,
No,
Tom.
No, go ahead, Jim, go.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you would think about that. I don't know if they'd be the top of the draft. I mean, there is a lot of intriguing things about Trubisky and certainly what Deshaun Watson and Kizer. I mean, Kizer probably is a physical upgrade to Jimmy Garoppolo, who is a deadly accurate passer and very athletic in his own right. I think they garner interest because they're well-groomed. They're well-coached. You know what you're getting when Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to be well-versed on game planning and how to prepare week to week in the NFL, and I would say the same thing for A.J. McCarron. They will get looked at. Teams and the Bears will do their homework. You know, they're not stupid. They know they have to get the position right, and no stone will go unturned. They'll do their due diligence.
You know, Jim, with A.J. McCarron, I think you know what you kind of have there. He's been groomed behind Dalton for quite a while now, and he's had some, you know, pedigree from his college success. If I was going to talk to Belichick about Garoppolo, I would go and say, I'll trade you for Jacoby Brissett. And if he said, no way, I'm not trading him, there's no way, then you know that there's some type of deficiency in Garoppolo's game that he's willing to get rid of him, but he's not willing to get rid of, is it Brissett? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett.
The quarterback they recently drafted. So I would just try to, like, get a poker read off of Belichick about, you know, he's willing to trade a guy that's been around there for a couple of years, but now he's not willing to trade a guy that's been around there for a season.
I just think he does a great job at creating value where he can parlay it into picks. I think Andy Reid's done it historically in Philadelphia. I think he's done it there in Kansas City. But, you know, because you look at Belichick, he did that with Ryan Mallett. And, you know, think about that. They traded him to Houston knowing that they had another quarterback waiting in the wings when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. Think about Hoyer. I mean, they went forward
Matt
with
Castle. I mean, there have been a lot of Brady backups.
Yeah. And they're high on Jacoby Brissett. Here's the problem, though. Tom Brady will play another 5 years. He said it. I guarantee you he will. These guys will never see their next contract. So he's just trying to create value that other teams would want to trade for him, like how he traded Ryan Mallett to the Houston
but
Texans.
Mallett never played. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing that scares me is sometimes Belichick knows more than what you can scout about a player, and that's why he's out there offering him for a first and a fourth, as Belichick said.
Now, keep in mind, the Bears had a full week to watch Garoppolo, unlike most teams this past year during the preseason. Then he goes out and he played in the early going of the season when Brady was suspended, so teams got a good look at him as well. So if you trade for a guy like Garoppolo, you're going to have to give up a lot, and then you got to sign him to a long-term deal because of what you gave up. So you better be darn sure that he's the answer.
But Houston had a chance to evaluate Brock Osweiler under game conditions, and look what they gave him, and look at where he's at. So
that's what I'm
just saying, just because someone's putting a player out there doesn't mean that he's your future.
And while it looks bad right now in terms of Houston, they only have to deal with that contract for one more year. If you trade for a guy, it's a completely different scenario.
Yeah. Here's what I think about Brock Osweiler, because in all the right reasons, some just think he's too tall. You know, for some teams, the cutoff point of a quarterback is 6'6", not 6'8", because he's close to 6'8". When you look, I mean, think of other guys. Who was the guy out in Seattle? Dan McGuire. Remember, he was a big dude. He stunk.
Yeah. I mean, Osweiler was a former basketball player at Gonzaga.
He's a big guy that can move. But to me, I knew he was going to struggle because he's in a West Coast system under Gary Kubiak. That Patriots system, which is what Bill O'Brien runs, is game plan specific every week. I knew it was going to be a struggle with him because in the West Coast system, there's carryover every week. Not in that offense. That offense, you could feature your tight ends one week, your running game the next, backs out of the backfield one week, then throwing deep down play action, because you're picking on the weaknesses of a game plan specific defense that you're trying to attack. And sure enough, Brock Osweiler struggled. I would be less concerned about Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's why. That dude is game plan specific ready. He has been trained every week that offense will change, and he can adapt. He can mold. He can mold and morph into what you want to do. So he is an interesting guy, and I think he will command a lot of value that teams will be looking at.
And that accuracy, which I think is probably the most important
thing.
Dead
on. He's great.
It's dead on, and because I believe all these quarterbacks in the NFL, it can make, you know, you were saying it earlier, Jim, but all the quarterback, to get to this level, you better be able to make all the throws. To me, what separates guys in the league once they get there is their ability, like you always say, to quickly solve the defensive puzzle, because you don't get a lot of time to do it. You can't panic. The poise in the pocket, being able to solve that defensive puzzle, knowing where your open man is going to be, and then the accuracy to get the ball there. Let's take a timeout. More of your phone calls next. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For inside coverage of next week's Pro Bowl with Jordan Howard and the Senior Bowl with the Bears coaching staff, visit ChicagoBears.com or check the Bears' Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat channels for photo, video, articles, and more. The Chicago Bears Network will be at both events to bring you all of the latest Bears news and insight. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. All right, let's get out to the phones because I know a lot of you guys want to talk some Bears football with us at 312-644-6767. Mount Prospect, Jock, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys, how are you doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for taking the call. I had a two-part question. I know earlier in the broadcast, you guys mentioned the Bears potentially trading down from 3 to pick up a guy like Deshaun Watson, but year after year, we've historically seen quarterbacks always get overdrafted. And in this draft specifically, with the teams that are at the top of the draft, the majority of them needing quarterbacks, do you think if the Bears were to trade down, they would miss out on guys like a Trubisky or a Watson? Or do you feel that those quarterbacks won't be able to reach to the top of the draft just based upon skill set alone? And then on top of that, Zach, I know you mentioned trying to compare Deshaun Watson, Trubisky to NFL pro prospects. Who would you compare those two quarterbacks to that is currently in the league?
Well, here first I'm going to answer your first question. If you feel it's your guy and you've done all your homework, again, look at the teams in the NFC Championship games. Okay? Packers pulled the trigger on Rodgers at 24. Matt Ryan was the first-round selection of the Atlanta Falcons. Ben Roethlisberger, think about that. Cleveland Browns passed up Ben Roethlisberger, and Steelers pulled the trigger on him.
Right,
obviously, Brady goes in the sixth round, but the Bill Belichick and that crew saw something in him. So if A's your guy, you get him. And you got to get it. You got to get it right on them.
Because
those three teams got it right.
But here's the thing, and I'm not knocking these evaluators, but it is the most difficult position to correctly peg because just look at the guy. Other than Matt Ryan, who went, I think, exactly where people thought he was going to go.
Do you think Marcus Mariota was a bad pick?
No.
Do you think Jameis Winston was a bad pick?
But you don't have those guys in this draft, at least heading into it. No one's saying, hey, these guys, there's an undisputed 1-2 in terms of the quarterback situation. No one quite knows. There are questions about Deshaun Watson. There are questions about whether or not Deshaun Kizer can be successful coming out of that offense. You took away the pro players this year. You didn't have one.
How was Teddy Bridgewater playing? Did Minnesota have the foresight to trade up to 32?
But what I'm saying is, how do you know? Occasionally you have that. 198 teams, 198 times teams passed on Tom Brady.
And this guy could end up
as the best quarterback ever.
If you do your homework and you feel it's your guy, you take him. And if you swing and miss at the plate, you better get back in that batter's box and swing again, because you ain't winning till you get one.
And I think a lot of people have pressure on themselves because of Dak Prescott's success this year. And because we're talking about all the teams that passed him up that need a quarterback so desperately that he kind of fell into the hands of the Dallas Cowboys.
They didn't know either.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Hey, I talked to some pretty well-known GMs. They said, we flat out got it wrong on Dak Prescott. Scott Linehan, the OC of Dallas, stood up in the draft room, said, we got to select this guy. He fell two rounds because of the DUI he had prior to the draft. He would have probably gone second round or minimum ahead of Cody Kessler if he didn't have that off-the-field issue.
But,
so he would have went higher. That's all I'm saying.
You know, we talked about the end of last week's show, and these issues have been haunting the NFL ever since the draft, because even in my year with Dan Marino, I think going in the late 20s, in all the quarterbacks that were picked ahead of him, some of them good, but some of them never even panned out. How do you let a guy like Dan Marino slide to the bottom of the first round in so many other teams that would have traded their first round pick, quarterback pick for a guy like Marino, given the way his career panned out?
I don't disagree with you. Guys like Ken O'Brien and Todd Blackledge, we all know how that worked out in Kansas City. There was false information about Dan Marino out there about drug use and all those things, and it hurt him. But it didn't stop. Did it stop Don Shula? No. We're taking this guy at 27.
Right.
He's our guy.
He got it right. Like, just think about this. You talked about the Cleveland situation, all the quarterbacks they've missed. A bunch of different guys that have run the draft for Cleveland have missed on those quarter. You don't get a
second
chance.
They missed last year on Carson Wentz. They missed last year when they could have gotten a guy.
You think about the rumor mill that haunted Dak Prescott, but then they go and they draft Johnny Manziel. I mean, my gosh.
Brutal.
How bad of a mistake can you make when you go and you draft an undersized guy with a weak arm that's not dedicated to the position of professional quarterback?
All I'm saying is the two best quarterbacks that are going to play this weekend, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, everyone missed on those guys. I mean, think of it. Rodgers fell. This is a draft where the Bears ended up taking Cedric Benson. Alex Smith was the number one. Rodgers fell all the way down to Green Bay. They could afford to take a chance because they had Brett Favre. And then you look at Brady, and I mentioned earlier, I mean, this guy was the 199th pick in the draft. It's unbelievable. We spent so much time talking about it. Very hard to peg it correctly. Guys, great show. We'll talk again next week. Bears All Access with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.